From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of Academy Award Theater. The series dramatized films which were nominated for an Academy Award. In each case, the lead actors in said films reprised their roles on radio. This was program number 16 in the series, as originally broadcast July 10th, 1946, starring Henry Fonda. It's Young Mr. Lincoln.
The House of Squibb presents Academy Award. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. And now, E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you the distinguished actor Henry Fonda in Young Mr. Lincoln with Ward Bond. Young Mr. Lincoln, as Best Original Story of the Year, was nominated for the 1939 Academy Award. Mr. Fonda, as Best Actor of the Year, was nominated for the 1940 Academy Award.
This is a story about a long, lean lawyer named Abraham Lincoln. A young man full of droll stories and deep, quick laughter. A story of Abe Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois. A fine summer afternoon at the fair is over. The barbecue fires glow red now in the darkness, and families are rounding up their children and seeking their wagons for the lazy ride back to town. Suddenly, a woman screams. A rush of running men, blood spilled on a dark meadow, and a hushed whisper of murder. The pioneer mother standing stark against the breeze, staring at her two sons. Two boys, suddenly strangers, standing over the body of a third lying stabbed. Death had come under the dark skies over Illinois.
He's dead. Who done it?
Them fellas, Sheriff. Them Clay brothers. They was fighting with this here scrub White and they cut him. There's the knife they done it with.
Which one of you Clay boys done this?
Me.
No, me.
Come on, let's take him out of here. I want the truth now. Which one of you cut him?
I did.
That ain't so. I done it.
I tell you, it was me. He was going for Adam with a gun and
one of you's lying. Now, which one is it? All right. Anybody see it?
No, we didn't see it. I reckon I did.
Who are you?
Their mother.
Well, which one was it?
I'm not saying.
Well, it don't make no difference anyhow. Under the law, they're both equally guilty. Come on now, you're both under arrest. Palmer Care, so I appoint you temporary deputy. Help me get these two fellas down to the jail. Come on, you two, let's go.
Who are these fellas? Never saw them around here before.
Strangers around here. Folks ain't got no right to come to town and start cutting people up.
Two of them jumping poor scrub and stabbing him in the back, too.
I said they ought to have a touch of rope.
Rope? Yes, sir. That's the medicine for them. Hey, come on, fellas. Get a rope and hurry.
Lynch!
Come on, they can't do that to my boys. They can't do that to my boys.
Come on, ma'am. We have to hurry. Those fellas mean what they say about lynching your sons.
Leave me alone. What do you want? Who are you?
My name's Lincoln, ma'am. Abe Lincoln. I'm your lawyer, ma'am. Come on, we better hurry and get down to that jail.
Lincoln!
jail door, Sheriff. Let me out of here.
I can't, Palmer. They've got to break in.
Don't be a fool. They'll get us, too.
Can't help it. They'll have to bust in first.
We're going to get those murderers, Sheriff. They ain't got a chance.
I can't open the door, boys. The law's got to protect these clay fellas and give them a trial.
Blow up the jail. Get powder. Powder.
Open up, Sheriff, or we'll get you.
Hold on, men. Hold on and listen to me.
Get out of our way, Lincoln. We're busting
by
in.
By jing, I said listen to me, and by jing, you will.
No, we ain't going to listen.
That's better. Now, gentlemen, I'm not here to make any speeches. All I got to say is I can lick any man here hands down.
We know you, Abe Lincoln.
Come on, man, let's get him.
Hold on, Buck. I thought I'd find that big mouth of yours around here telling people what to do.
I'm Buck, all right. A big buck of this lick.
Then come on and whet your horns. What's holding you? Maybe some of you other gentlemen like to take Buck's place.
Me. I can lick you myself.
Is that a fact, neighbor, or just your notion?
Get away from there, Lincoln, or we'll give it to you, too.
Well, well, if it's not Bill Gentry. First time I ever heard of you trying to break into jail, Bill. I thought you were too busy trying to break out.
Shut up! Go on, let's get him.
Howdy, Clarence. Last time I saw you, you were heading for the rock pile for beating up your wife. Now, gentlemen, all joking aside, let's look at this matter from my side. You all know I'm just a fresh lawyer trying to get ahead, but some of you boys act like you want to do me out of my first client.
Go ahead, Abe. Go on and talk.
I'm not saying you fellas aren't right. Maybe these clay boys do deserve to hang. But with me handling their case, it looks like you won't have much to worry on that score. All I ask is to have it done with some legal pomp and show.
Yeah, but what about our side of it? We've been to a heap of trouble not to have at least one hanging.
Sure you have. And if these boys had more than one life, I'd say go ahead. A little hanging mightn't do them any harm. But the sort of hanging you boys would give them would be so permanent. The trouble is that when men start taking the law into their own hands, they're just as apt in the confusion and fun to hang somebody who's not a murderer as somebody who is. Then, first thing you know, they're hanging one another from pure devilment. Till it gets to the place a man can't pass a tree or look at a rope without feeling uneasy.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, yeah.
We seem to lose our heads at such times as this and do things together we'd be mighty ashamed to do by ourselves. For instance, you take Jeremiah Carter yonder. There's not a more decent, God-fearing man in Springfield than Jeremiah Carter. And I wouldn't be surprised if when he goes home, he takes down a certain book and looks into it. Maybe he'll just happen to hit on these words. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's all I got to say, friends. Good night.
Mr. Lincoln.
Yes, Miss Clay?
I ain't one to talk much, but after what you just done for us tonight, saving my boys from them...
Now, save your thanks. Here, I'll give you a hand with those mules of yours. Whoa, mules, whoa. Of course, you know I'm just sort of a jackleg lawyer, not much experience at this sort of business, but as long as you want me, I'll do the best I can. Still, maybe you'd feel a lot safer if my partner was here. Or you could get a hold of Steve Douglas. I hear that silver tongue of his can be mighty useful with a jury.
We don't know nothing about lawyers and things like that.
Well, I'll do the best I can. You know, my mother, Nancy Hanks, would have been just about your age if she'd lived. I've an idea she'd been a whole lot like you, too. A whole lot like you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Abigail Clay, which one of your boys killed Scrub White?
I can't tell you. I can't.
But I'm your lawyer. You can trust me. I don't want to scare you, but we've got a fight on our hands. I gotta know what I'm doing.
I can't tell you, Mr. Lincoln. It'd be like choosing between them.
What do you suppose made them both say they done it?
Matt said it because he's the oldest. Adam said it because Matt's got a wife and a baby, I reckon.
There's a lot of people who'd like to see those boys hang.
I know, but I just can't.
No, I reckon you can't. Take it easy riding home, Abigail, and watch out for ruts. Get up, mules.
I'm a cast. Take the stand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
What's your name?
J. Palmer Cass.
You knew Scrub White?
Sure, Mr. Felder. I knew him.
The day he was killed, you'd been with him?
All day.
Do you recall where and under what circumstances you first saw the defendants?
Well, we run into him at the pie contest. Scrub kind of took a fancy to one of their gals, and her fella got sore. They followed us over near the tug of war and wanted to fight.
What did Scrub White do then?
He just laughed and asked them what they wanted to fight with. Knives, pistols, or fists.
How did he ask that, jokingly?
Yeah, he was laughing all the time.
Tell the jury what happened then.
Well, Scrub and me had a little argument, and he went off by himself. Next thing I heard, I heard a shot and some shouting, and I run back and found Scrub lying on the ground with those two fellas standing over him.
And the knife was on the ground between them?
Yes, sir.
And where was Scrub's pistol?
In his holster.
So it went off then while he was trying to get it out of his holster?
Yes, sir. Guess it did.
Thank you. You're a witness, Mr. Lincoln.
What's the J stand for in your name?
John.
Then why the J. Palmer Cass? Why not John P. Cass?
Well,
anything the matter with John P.?
No, but
has J. Palmer Cass anything to conceal?
No.
And what do you part your name in the middle for?
I got a right to call myself anything I please.
All right, but if you don't mind, I'll just call you Jack Cass.
Order, order in the court. Your Honor, I object to this ridiculous line of questioning. Mr. Lincoln's clownishness may win him a laugh from his friends, but I assure you his entire game of buffoonery is lost on this jury.
Stick to the point, Mr. Lincoln.
I'll do my best, Your Honor. Now, J. Palmer Cass, you say you and Scrub White had a little argument. What was this argument about?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, you'd rather not say. Well, J. Palmer, suppose I told you I'd rather you did say.
All right, if you want to know, we were arguing about politics.
That's something new to argue about. What kind of politics?
Well, I've learned different now. But I said that I figured that you had more sense about politics than Steve Douglas. And Scrub, he got mad as a wet hen and said you didn't.
Order, order.
Yeah, looks like I scratched up a snake then. I reckon we can allow all you said to go in. Step down.
Your Honor, I'd like to call Abigail Clay back to the stand.
Abigail Clay!
You love your boys, don't you, Mrs. Clay? You'd like to save their lives if you could. You were present the night Scrub White was killed, weren't you?
I saw him fighting.
Now, don't be afraid of me. I'm not a bloodthirsty man. I'm prepared to offer you the life of one of your sons, provided you tell us which of your boys stabbed and killed Scrub White.
Yeah. Order, order.
I can't.
Mrs. Clay, you believe in God, don't you? Do you believe that if you take a solemn oath in the sight of God and on his holy Bible, you are bound to speak the truth?
Yes,
But I can't tell you. I can't.
Your Honor, I protest against the prosecution's attempt to force this woman to decide which of her two sons will live and which will die. I have seen Abigail Clay exactly 3 times in my life, gentlemen. Yet I know everything there is to know about her. I know her because I've seen hundreds of women just like her, working in the fields, suffering over some sick and helpless child. Women who say little and do much, who ask nothing and give all. And I tell you that such a woman would never answer the question that's been put to her here. Never. I'd rather, Mrs. Clay, see both your sons taken from you than to see you break your heart by saving one at the expense of the other. So don't tell them.
Order! Order!
May it please the court to spare the jury any more of these harrowing outbursts, the state will withdraw the question. No doubt Mr. Lincoln will be glad to hear that Mrs. Clay was not the only eyewitness to the murder of Scrub White.
Order! Order!
Recall Mr. J. Palmer Cass to the stand.
J. Palmer Cass!
Mr. Cass, where were you at the time Scrub White was killed?
I was about, 100 yards away, I reckon.
You saw the killing with your own eyes?
Yes, sir, I saw it.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
Nobody asked me.
Have you told anybody else about this?
No, sir.
Why not?
Well, I didn't want to help get anybody hung.
And why do you tell us now?
Because it looks to me like both of them's going to get hung.
How could you see so clearly from a distance of 100 yards at 11 o'clock at night?
It was moon bright.
I see. Moon bright. And you clearly saw which boy pulled the knife?
Yes, sir.
The defendants will stand up. Now tell us, Mr. Cass, which defendant stabbed and killed Scrub White?
That one. The big one, Adam Clay.
Your Honor, the state rests.
Quiet! Quiet! This court is adjourned until 10 tomorrow morning. Take the prisoners away.
In just a moment, you will hear the second part of Academy Award. This is the time of year when a vacation tan helps to focus more attention on your smile. And that's one reason why Squibb Dental Cream is an important part of so many well-made vacation plans. For this quality dentifrice, a member of the great family of Squibb products helps to uncover all the natural brilliance of your smile. That's because the polishing agent in Squibb Dental Cream is one of the safest, softest, yet most effective known to dental science. And you will like Squibb Dental Cream for its refreshing flavor, cool as a shady bed of mint. Its refreshing action that leaves your teeth and gums feeling gloriously clean. For Squibb Dental Cream is 3 ways refreshing. You can taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Something to remember when you're buying a dentifrice. Ask for Squibb Dental Cream. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Use Squibb Dental Cream. Before continuing with part two of Young Mr. Lincoln, we want to thank 20th Century Fox for making this story available. Henry Fonda and Ward Bond will soon be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, My Darling Clementine. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring Henry Fonda in Young Mr. Lincoln with Ward Bond.
You're playing there, Mr. Lincoln.
Why, hello, Judge. Mighty pleasant to see you this evening.
Doggone it, Lincoln. This is against all my principles, but I want to talk to you as an older man.
Go ahead, Judge. I'm listening.
What I mean to say, dad blame it, is don't you think you ought to get some older lawyer with more experience to help you out tomorrow?
Are you suggesting I retire, Judge, or just take a back seat?
I'm just suggesting that if you want me to, I'll speak to Steve Douglas.
I'm sorry, Judge, but I'm one of those fellows who don't believe in swapping horses in the middle of the stream.
Then at least change your plea. Accept sentence for your guilty client, and I'll guarantee that the state will be lenient with the other.
That's a mighty tempting offer. Mighty tempting. But I'm afraid it won't work.
But, man, you'll send both defendants to the gallows as sure as the moon sets.
Maybe, but just the same, that's the way it's got to be. Good night, Judge.
Order, order in the court.
Your Honor, the defense would like at this time to cross-examine the last witness for the state, J. Palmer Cass.
J. Palmer Cass, take the stand.
Mr. Cass, yesterday you identified Adam Clay as the killer of Scrub White.
That's right. He did it.
You're sure of that?
Sure, I'm sure.
Well, I just wanted to know. Now, you say you were about 100 yards from the scene of the fight?
Just about.
Are you familiar with the land over there?
Yes, sir.
What's the nature of it?
Well, there's a little clearing and...
Any trees?
A few.
Where are they?
Between the clearing and the fairground.
And you saw through these trees?
No. I was already through the trees when I saw them fighting.
Oh, I see. I suppose the clearing was lit up by light from the barbecue fires?
No, sir.
Then how'd you see so well?
I told you it was moon bright.
Oh, moon bright.
Yeah, sure.
If it hadn't been moon bright, you couldn't have seen 100 yards, could you?
No, sir.
But you did see it.
I told you I did.
And then the only reason you're telling us this now is that you feel sorry for one of the defendants.
I don't want to see them both get hung.
Well, I guess you wouldn't lie about a thing like that. Step down. Oh, Mr. Cass, I forgot. There's just one more question I'd like to ask you. You needn't bother to come all the way back to the stand. Cass, what'd you have against Scrub White?
Well, nothing.
Then what'd you kill him for?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. Look at this book. It's Gowdy's Almanac. Go on, look at it. Look at page 12, the night of the murder. See what it says about the moon? That the moon was only in its first quarter that night and set at 10:21, 40 minutes before the killing. So it couldn't have been moon bright, could it?
No. Order! Order!
You lied, didn't you, Cass? You weren't trying to save these boys' necks, were you? You were trying to save your own, weren't you? Well, come on, weren't you?
No.
Why'd you lie?
I didn't lie.
You did lie. That's just as plain as the nose on your face. But why? Come on, tell us. What made you tell a lie about that moonlight?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You lied because you and Scrub White had a fight. But it wasn't about politics. You never mentioned politics. That was your first lie, wasn't it?
It was politics, it was.
You were fighting about something else. Maybe it was money. You owed him money, or he owed you.
No.
Maybe he was getting a little graft here and there, and you wanted to be in on it.
No, sir.
What was it? Come on. It was one of those things, something that made you want to get rid of Scrub.
You're crazy. He was my friend.
Maybe, but just the same, you lied. Now, why? Why did you say you saw what happened when you didn't see it? All right, I'll tell you what happened. You heard a row. You saw a fight starting and you ran over there and you saw that Scrub was still living. And right there on the ground, you saw the knife that Matt Clay dropped. And you bent down and picked up the knife.
And your body hid
what you were doing. And then you stabbed him. You stabbed him in the back and killed him.
And these
two boys, Matt and Adam, each knew he didn't do it. And therefore, each thought the other did. And their mother, Abigail. She saw the knife in Matt's hand, but she couldn't say so without putting a rope around his neck. But you,
You killed him. And you lied, and your lie tripped you up. Your crude, cold-blooded lie that was going to cover up a crime, you'd committed yourself. A lie you can't deny now, can you? Answer me. You did kill him, didn't you? Didn't you?
I tell you, I didn't mean to. I'd been drinking, and we had a little fight, but I didn't mean to. Scrub was my friend, I tell you. And
that's
I
enough. You're a witness, Mr. Felder.
Arthur! Get your hands off of me! Let me go! I didn't mean to kill him!
Well, I reckon there's nothing holding you people now.
No, sir. There sure ain't.
But you boys better not go around thinking you killed anybody again. You'll get yourselves in trouble. Goodbye, Matt. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. I'm a goner.
Mr. Lincoln.
Goodbye, Abigail.
We ain't got much, but after what you done...
Why, thank you, ma'am. I hope all my clients will pay me as fast as you just did. Now, be careful of them mules going home. Watch out for ruts. Get up, mules.
Go on, Mr. Lincoln. Go on, Mr. Lincoln.
Oh, there you are, Abe. I had a heck of a time finding you.
Oh, evening, Judge.
Abe, I wanted to tell you, I thought you pulled a brilliant piece of strategy today, and I'm sorry about trying to talk you into taking on an older lawyer, but I didn't know you had that ace up your sleeve.
Nothing to worry about, Judge. I might have done the same thing if I were in your boots.
How did you happen to hit on Cass as the guilty one?
Well, Judge, I got to thinking about Cass when he insisted on parting his name in the middle. Struck me he might have reasons for wanting to be secretive about himself. And when I found a copy of the Almanac, that cinched it.
Where are you heading, Lincoln?
Oh, just... thought I'd walk up the hill a piece, Judge.
The boys will be looking for you. What'll I tell them?
Oh, just tell them I got the smell of the country in my nose. And I think I'll go on a spell from here.
During the years when young Lincoln was practicing law, another young American was practicing medicine with the same hatred for all that was slipshod and untrustworthy. The young man was Dr. Edward R. Squibb, and he fought single-handed to supply the medical world with something difficult to find and urgently needed, drugs of unfailing uniformity, purity, efficacy. From his tiny laboratory, the beginning of the great house of Squibb, came not only the first uniformly safe, pure ether, but something even rarer, a new way of working in the production of medicines, a quest for perfection that was to continue unceasingly. It was a hope fulfilled for other doctors and surgeons of Dr. Squibb's own time. "We look upon your cause as our cause," they wrote, "your enterprises as the inauguration of a new era, and yourself as the exponent of the great principles of truth and humanity in array against dishonest stupidity." So began that continuing service in the cause of human health, which for generation after generation has made Squibb a name you can trust. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Virginia Bruce in The Prisoner of Zenda. Today's performance of Young Mr. Lincoln was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Our producer-director is Dee Engelbach. Henry Fonda appeared through the courtesy of RKO, producers of Till the End of Time. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next Wednesday at the same time, when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. We'll wrap up the hour with an episode of the comedy quiz program Take It or Leave It, with Phil Baker as Master of Ceremonies. This CBS broadcast from July 13th, 1947, notice the references to the flying saucer craze, which by that point was really sweeping the nation. Anyway, the first category selected on this episode, popular Broadway songs.
Take it or leave it. Time to sharpen your wits with Eversharp. Yes, Take It or Leave It, presented by Eversharp, manufacturers of famous Eversharp precision writing instruments and Eversharp chic injector razors and blades. Take It or Leave It, the most exciting game you ever played. The game that doubles in interest with every question asked. The game with the giant jackpot race. And so I give you the man with the $64 question, Eversharp's distinguished paymaster of ceremonies, and here he is, Phil Baker!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to Take It or Leave It. Well, folks, I've got some good news tonight for you. You don't have to worry anymore about those flying discs. I found out it was just Bing Crosby throwing away a lot of Sinatra records. Anyway, I can't understand why people scare so easily. One fellow I know ran down to the cellar and didn't come out for a week. As soon as the show was over, I'm going right back again. Everybody was seeing discs every place. There was even a rumor that a lot of discs fell all around the White House. But the FBI made the Republicans clean up all those Dewey buttons. And right at this point, I'd like to interrupt the program for a special dispatch from Egypt. But nobody here understands Egyptians, so back to Take It or Leave It. And here's our first contestant, who is Mr. Bill... What?
Schwamm.
Schwamm?
That's right.
Gee, how do you do, Mr. Schwamm?
How are you doing, Mr. Baker?
Nice having you with us tonight.
Thank you.
Are you in fine fettle?
Sorry, what a fettle is.
Not a fettle, a fettle.
A fettle?
Yes.
Well, I'd say yes.
You're in fine fettle?
I'm in fine fettle.
You look a little pale around the gills there.
I am.
You are? Yeah. Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Schwamm. What makes you so nervous?
Well, you know, I've never been on the radio before.
What are you reaching for? Is there anything?
I'm trying to hold on to the ceiling, something. I see. Something grabble.
You want
to
pull up Morris or something? Huh?
Won't commit myself.
You smoke?
Yes, I do.
You do, eh?
Yeah.
Remember the first time you smoked?
My folks are here.
Oh, go on. Father caught me when I was a kid with a pack of Philip Morris in my back pocket. A minute later, they were flat 50s. Tell me, Mr. Schwamm, it says here that you're a salesman. What do you sell?
I sell church goods supplies.
Church goods supplies? Right. And how's business these days?
Fine.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I really am. And you you live here, do you?
Yes, I do.
You like the movies?
Yes, I do.
Did you like Dennis Morgan?
I can't say I've ever seen him.
Huh?
I've never seen him.
You heard about him lately?
Oh,
you
yes,
read about him in the paper?
Him.
Well, after the broadcast, the captain of the SS Mauritania wants me to play a song dedicated to Dennis Morgan. It's entitled, His Feet's Too Big for His Bed. Nobody reads the papers. Okay, let's get on with the show. What have you chosen, please?
Number one.
Number one, orchestra and accordion. Okay, Mr. Schwamm, here we go. We go to work. Broadway. All of these popular songs are being heard on Broadway right now. How many do you know? For a dollar, I'll sack. Take it away. Yes? South America, what is the name of the song? South America, what?
South America.
Yeah.
South America, take it away.
South America, South take America, it away. Yes, that's what it is. Good. What are you laughing at? Huh?
That was a steal.
No help. That was a steal, eh?
Yeah.
Well, this one won't be. You're on your own now. Because you'd sell church supplies, you don't have to speak way down here like that. You know what I mean? Speak up, will you, please? Okay?
All right.
Huh?
All right, I'm with you.
Okay, boy. Well, I'm with you, bud. Put it there, believe me. All right, here we go. This is from the same show. I'll give you that tip.
Okay? People will say we're in love.
Well, say it.
People will say we're
in love. Now you have $4. What'll we do?
Oh, we'll keep going.
Well, of course.
Sure.
You're getting encouraged now, aren't you? Hammerstein and Rogers are really great composers. They wrote those songs. You know, I once wrote a song called Sitting Bull's Last Stand Beside the Shalimar Under the Garden Gate, waiting in a cottage mall by a waterfall in Pasadena where the sea is sunny and dawn comes up like a fish in the good old summertime. Good night, folks. We're a little late. Okay?
Ready?
Ready. Here we go for $8. Take it. You have $8. What'll we do?
Oh, we'll keep going.
Keep going, of course. Confidence, my boy. That'll do it every time. Here it is, from the same show. I'm playing it very badly. Distinguish that melody?
Oh, I can't get it.
You can, I can't either. Da dee da da da. Da dee da 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 da. Isn't this mic a little too high for you, isn't it?
No, that's not for. That's not the mic.
Well, is it all right, I mean, for your voice to speak right in?
Oh, fine.
It's okay,
fine,
huh?
Fine, yes.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, I just wanted to give you a little hint there, but as long as you don't want me to raise the mic while you hold this question sheet, I won't do it, okay? Huh? See, you're a funny duck tonight.
Yes, I really am.
You're a clever guy, though. You know what it means to read between the lines? Huh?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. Read between the lines. I said between the lines. What's the name of the song? Between the lines? No! What is the name of the song? What are you looking at? What are you doing there with my question sheet? What's the name of it?
If This Isn't Allowed.
If This Isn't Allowed. Now, what do we do? You have $16. Would you like to take it? The next one is a little tough. You haven't heard this song, it's a little tough. What do you want to do? Take 16 or try with 32? Make up your mind. Huh?
Oh.
Take $16?
Take $16.
The gentleman takes $16. Okay, thank you very much. Wait a minute, hold on. Isn't that what you meant? You
no.
want to try with 32?
Oh, no, I'll try.
Okay,
sure.
Here we go, $32.
I understand. Thank you. Just like falling in
That's
love.
Close enough, almost like
just
being in love.
Oh,
okay.
Almost like being in love.
Now what do we do? Want to try with 64?
Ah, we'll go.
Okay,
sure,
for $64. Let's have it. What is it? I'm terribly sorry. I really am. The song is There's No Business Like Show Business from Annie Get Your Gun. Stand by for the giant right. jackpot. Better luck next time. All right, here's our next guest of the evening, who is Mrs. Florence Manning. How do you do, Mrs. Manning?
How do you do?
Nice having you with us tonight.
It's nice being here.
Where are you from, Mrs. Manning?
Oh, 4 weeks ago tonight, I came from Chicago.
Nice town, Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's a nice outfit you have on.
Thank you.
Is your hubby here tonight to notice it?
No, he's home and he's listening and he has the gout for me.
He's home and he's listening and he has the gout.
Isn't that awful?
That's John Swell of him. Believe me, it is. It really
no.
is. It isn't.
No.
Does he suffer much with the gout?
He sure does.
What does he do for it?
Oh, he mostly sits on a chair and ouch.
He sits on a chair and ouch?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice work if you can get it, you know. And what did you receive as a gift, please, Mrs. Manning?
An Eversharp pen and pencil.
Thank you. Remember, if your Eversharp ever needs service and is returned to Eversharp, we'll put it in good working order functionally for only 35 cents, except for missing parts, accidental, or willful damage. This service is guaranteed, not for years, not for life, but guaranteed forever. And you think your hubby is listening to your voice?
Oh, I know he is.
Really?
Really?
You'd be surprised if you walked out of here and found him at the Brown Derby, wouldn't you? Huh?
Oh, he couldn't get there.
He couldn't get there with the gout?
No.
All right, so what can I do? I made up a thing. So what have you chosen, Mrs. Manning?
Well, I'm going to try number five.
Number five. Okay, here we go with blue stuff. Number five. This is a group of general questions about blue things. For a dollar, what does the bluebird symbolize?
Happiness.
Happiness, good for a buck. Fine. Here we go for two. What shade of blue is mentioned in this song? Take it, Al.
Alice Blue.
Alice Blue gown. Okay, fine. You have $2. Would you like to continue? Here we go for $4. What German-born film star made her first American hit in The Blue Angel? No help. No help, please. What German-born film star made her first American hit in The Blue Angel?
Marlena Dietrich
is absolutely correct. That is the answer. She's a grand actress.
She certainly is.
Yes. Marlena and I are very close. Every morning I stop at her house and yell, "Hey, Marlena!" Then I throw her paper on the lawn and go on to my next customer. You have $4. Here we go for eight. Shall we try? Here's the question. Did the Union or the Confederate Army wear blue uniforms?
The Union,
right, with Eversharp. Fine, gives you eight. Now then, what do we do, Mrs. Manning?
Go on.
It's up to you.
We'll go on.
Shall we go ahead? Okay, here we go for 16. Isn't this fun?
It surely is.
I just love it.
So far, so good.
You bet. All right, here we go for 16. Sure your husband is home?
I hope.
And I hope he's listening, too.
I hope he is,
yes.
too.
What you going to bring him if you win tonight?
$64, I hope.
All right, here we go for $16. Do you turn right or left to get to my blue heaven? Now think. Do you turn right or left to get to my blue heaven?
I turn right
what?
To my blue heaven.
Oh, geez. Right And if it's a woman driver in front of you, it doesn't matter which way you turn, you'll still get to my blue heaven. We'll have 16, shall we try, for $32, Mrs. Manning?
Yes.
Here's the question. For $32, tell me, what Englishman painted the blue boy? What's the name of the Englishman, the artist who painted the blue boy? Very famous artist. Very famous. You won't gain a thing here tonight if you don't answer this question. You really won't.
Oh, Gainsborough.
Gainsborough! Right, another shot. Good. Okay, here we go. You have 32. What do we do now? Try for 64. What blue flower do you associate with Scotland?
Blue heather.
Blue heather or bluebell?
Blue
okay,
bell.
You have 64. This is Phil Baker following through with Take It or Leave It Forever Sharp. Here's our next guest of the evening. We now have $192 in the jackpot. The gentleman's name is Mr. Wilfred Stevenson. How do you do, Mr. Stevenson?
Hello, Phil.
Nice having you with us tonight. Enjoying the show?
Yes, indeed.
You're a little warm, aren't you, huh?
Rather.
It is warm in here. You are, it says here, in the telephone business?
That's right.
Out here?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. How close are you to Brentwood?
Well, not very close this time, Phil. I'm at Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Yes, sir.
Can you arrange to get me a little phone? I mean, I need a little extension up in my upstairs room. Yeah, so I want to talk to you. See, if you can arrange to get me a phone, I have to run down two flights. See? Are you trying to do that? You have $64. Good night. Thank you. Don't we have fun on this show? Doggone it. Tell me, you're married, are you, Mr. Stevenson?
Yes, Phil.
Is your wife pretty?
Well, indeed so.
Yeah?
Yeah, she is.
I can't see her. Describe her to me. Go on.
Well, she's a redhead, Phil.
Redhead? Yes, redhead. So is mine. Yeah? You know, before I got married, I used to go out with all the Powers models. Choo Choo Johnson, Chili Williams, Candy Jones. I married a Powers model. Her name was Sour Cream Shapiro. Are you happy enough to talk to me about some moolah? Something up there, sir?
Yes, I'd like to talk about number 17.
Number 17. You will speak up, won't you please, sir? Thank you very much, Mr. Stevenson. Here we go. Which is larger? This is a group of questions about the sizes of stuff. You tell me which is larger for a dollar, me or Mickey Rooney. That's fine. You have a buck. Shall we go for two? Which is larger, Greenland or Iceland?
Greenland.
Greenland. Good. Right with every shot. Fine. Gives you $2, sir. Ever been to Greenland?
No, I haven't.
I was up there one time. It was so cold, the restaurants were serving chapped chicken liver. You have a... I had to do that. My boss's son sent it in. You have $2. Here we go for four. Which is larger, Montana or Colorado? No help? Think
Colorado.
Now. What?
Colorado.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. You look it up, you'll find it's Montana. Stand by with the jackpot. Better luck next time. Here we go. Next guest of the evening, I have your name here. Miss Maria Putzi, is that right?
Maria Putzi.
Maria Putzi.
That's right.
Meet Philip Putzi. How are you, Miss Putzi? And where are you from, Miss Putzi?
Monterey, Minnesota.
Monterey, Minnesota. Gee, I bet that's a nice place. How long have you been here?
About 4 weeks.
4 weeks having fun?
Oh, indeed.
You're not married, are you?
No.
Well, the reason I asked that is because I just wanted to tell the folks out here that next Wednesday afternoon I'm going to have the time of my life entertaining a whole bunch of the boy inventors and hobby project winners from the Los Angeles Associated Boys Clubs. We've arranged a great show for the kids, and we'll top it off with all kinds of food that the boys like. I wish I were a kid again like Jack Benny, believe me. All right, Miss Putzip, what have you decided to talk to me about, please?
Second category, American history.
Says here that you are a sales girl, huh?
Yes, at the May Company. I sell every sharp pens and pencil sets.
Who asked you?
What?
That's all right. Miss Goldwater, is she your boss?
That's right.
A very charming lady, she really is. You're a sales girl, huh?
Yes.
I told about a secretary the other day, this man, is your boss fussy?
No.
Well, this fellow was looking for a secretary, and he was so fussy he wouldn't engage an American secretary. He was looking for a Laplander. You have nothing. All right, Miss Putzi, you've chosen what? American history? Finish
yes.
The questions. Here it is. Each of the following consists of a question with four possible answers. You pick the correct answer. For example, if I asked you, was Ethan Allen associated with the White Mountains, the Catskill Mountains, the Green Mountains, or the Blue Ridge Mountains, you'd reply,
green.
The Green Mountains is right. Here we go for a dollar. Did the Pilgrims land at Plymouth Rock, the Rock of Gibraltar, White Rock, or Eagle Rock?
Plymouth Rock.
For a buck, fine. Give the lady a hand. Okay, here we go, the two. All right. Did you take your bow?
Oh.
Take your bow, that's right. For $2 was George Washington's profession before he entered the Army. Lawyer, veterinary surgeon, surveyor, or lexicographer?
Surveyor.
Surveyor, good.
Fine. Do I have to do this every time?
Huh?
Do I have to bow every time?
No, not every time. Take one long bow and then turn it over there. That's fine. Ladies took a nice bow. Okay, here we go. This one's on the May Company. It was the famous Cross of Gold speech delivered by William Jennings Bryan, William Cullen Bryant, William Allen White, or William and Mary? Was the famous Cross of Gold speech delivered by William Jennings Bryan, William Cullen Bryant, William Allen White, or William and Mary?
I'm going to make a guess. The first one.
The first one is absolutely correct. William Jennings Bryan. Oh, okay. Darn good guess. You're a good guesser.
Elimination process there.
Huh?
Elimination process.
I'll take a lemonade, yes. Now, here we go before, for $8, we'll tell him. Boy, am I grooming myself for sustaining. Oh, boy. Here we go for $8. Was General Custer defeated by Geronimo, Bull Run, Sitting Bull, or Santa Anna?
Sitting Bull.
Sitting Bull, right, whatever, child. Fine, gives you $8. Now, here we go for 16. Was the first European to discover the Mississippi Balboa, Marquette, Cortez, or DeSoto? Balboa, Marquette, Cortez, or DeSoto?
Mississippi, did you say?
Was the first European to discover the Mississippi. You're not paying any attention to me.
I'm trying too hard.
Was the famous European to discover the Mississippi Balboa, Marquette, Cortez, or DeSoto?
DeSoto!
DeSoto, yes! And I wish I had a glass of DeSoto water. Okay, now, they get worse. They really do. You know your American history, all right. I had a contestant last week, and I asked him what were the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and he said the three Andrews sisters. You have $15. Here we go, the 32. Well, thank you, fellas. I thank you.
Take your bow.
I'll take my bow.
Okay.
Here we go, the 32. Do you want to try? You can stop, you know.
Oh, I mean,
you can
this
take
is
16.
Well.
It's a lot of money. Well, in case you want to do, try the 32.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is, $32. What was the first state admitted to the Union after the original 13? Vermont, Ohio, Maine, or Pennsylvania? The first state admitted to the Union after the original 13. Vermont, Ohio, Maine, or Pennsylvania?
Maine?
No, Maine. Just because you worked for the May Company, it didn't have to be Maine. It happens to be Vermont. I'm awfully sorry. Stand by for the jackpot. Better luck next time. All right, here's our next guest of the evening, who is Mr. James Smith. How do you do, Mr. Smith? Nice having you with us, sir. What do you do for a living? Would you like to tell us just a sort of a conventional and question here?
I'm unemployed at present.
You are unemployed at present. Now, what did you used to do?
I was a tire builder.
A tire builder?
Yes.
And what is a tire builder, sir?
Well, it's just like anything else. I mean, the stuff that's required for the tires together.
Yes.
That's all.
You just put the stuff that's required for the tires together, and that's all? And you have a tire?
Yes.
Do they have real rubber now, or are they still using synthetic rubber?
Partial, I think.
Partial?
Yes.
Partial, not impartial, huh? Well, partial would be impartial, wouldn't you say? Let's
yes.
get off on some screwy subject here tonight. And tell me, sir, are you married?
No.
You're not married. Are you inclined toward that end?
Well, yes and no.
Do you like to go out with girls?
Certainly.
Well, there's a beautiful girl who lives two houses down from me. She's about 5'4", has blue eyes, red hair, and a gorgeous figure. Maybe you can arrange a date for tonight, huh?
Good deal.
And if it works, I'll get somebody for you. Okay. Mr. Smith, what have you chosen, please?
Number 11.
Number 11. Here we go with number 11. That is musicians past and present. Is each of these musicians known chiefly as a singer, composer, or an instrumentalist? For a dollar, Enrico Caruso.
Singer.
Singer. Good for a buck. Fine. Here we go for two. Singer, composer, or instrumentalist? Franz Schubert.
Composer.
Composer. Right with Evershaw. Fine. How about Sergei Prokofiev?
I say composer.
Composer is right. Fine. How do you know so much about music? You like the classics?
No, not particularly.
I love them. I really do. Every night my family would sit around and listen to Prokofiev. Then we'd listen to McGillicuddy. Then we'd listen to Mendelssohn. Then we'd listen to McGillicuddy. Then we'd listen to Beethoven. Then we'd listen to McGillicuddy.
We had to listen to McGillicuddy. It was his Victrola, and he wanted it back. You have $4. Here we go for $8. How about it? Singer, composer, or instrumentalist? Arthur Schnabel. Singer, composer, or instrumentalist? Arthur Schnabel.
Singer.
No, sir. I'm sorry, instrumentalist. Stand by for the jackpot. He's a pianist, by the way. All right, here's our next guest, who is Mrs. Jessie Gibson. How do you do, Mrs. Gibson? What did you receive as a gift tonight, please?
A very beautiful pen and pencil.
Thank you. Be sure to see the Eversharp CA pen that rolls ink on dry during the great CA pen sale. Prices are cut up to 60%. What have you chosen, please?
Well, 15 now.
15. Okay, here we go with number 15. That is, what? Yeah. Then and now. I'll tell you some people who held a particular job several years ago. You tell me who holds that job today. For example, if I said in 1933, Cordell Hull was Secretary of State. Who was Secretary of State today? You'd reply, George C. Marshall. In 1932, Frederick March won an Oscar for his performance in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. What actor won the Oscar this year? No help, please. No help.
I said this.
No, don't let them prompt you. What would you say?
I don't know. I'm sorry, too.
It's Frederick March again. Thank you. Stand by with a jackpot. A nice jackpot amounts to $237. Our contestants are going to race for it, and the first one with the right answer rings the bell for all the dough. If no one wins, the money will be added to next week's jackpot. I'll be back in just a minute with that giant jackpot question that all of you at home have been waiting for. Now's your chance to match wits with our contestants. Thanks, Jay Stewart. And now for the $237 jackpot question. And remember, it's a race. The first contestant who hits the bell and has the correct answer gets the entire amount. You've got to be fast, but you've got to be right, too. Put on your thinking caps, get out your Eversharps, and let's go. Here's the question. What's the present tense of the verb wrought? Looks like no one won. No one had the correct answer. The question was, what's the present tense of the verb wrought? And the answer is work. The $237 jackpot money will be added to next week's jackpot. I thank you. The answer to the jackpot question was work. Work. W-R-O-R-K. Work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we hope all of you listening have enjoyed Take It or Leave It as much as Eversharp has enjoyed bringing it to you. We'll meet you all again next week at this same time, so let's make it a date. This is Phil Baker and Edith Oliver reminding you to sharpen your wits with an Eversharp. Bye-bye. Bye, Eversharp.
And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you for your company. Join me again when you can for more classic sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.